Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas and Bobby Hebert, we are live from the Silver Slipper, which makes it a special edition right away. But other than that, it is the Saints Open Week, and this has happened before, and so the Saints are off, technically, so we won't have Saints head coach Dennis Allen or an assistant coach. But we do have Mike Dettillier, we do have Bobby Hebert, and we do have a former Saints head coach, and that is Jim Mora, who Bobby played for and who I know very well and who I saw recently in Arizona. Jim E. Mora, Saints, former Saints coach. Jim, first off, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on the show with you guys. Yeah, I wasn't real happy with the game last night. That was a heartbreaker. But other than that, I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Now, so, you know, Coach Mora, how can you be plus two and you don't win the game? I mean, when I saw this, look, because, you know, as of late, the Who Dat Nation Saints fan base, you know, basically the past decade, they have 50 wins and 4 losses when they plus 2 or better in the turnover margin, and they had won 21 straight games when they were plus 2. Well, it just seems like this year, if it can't go wrong, it will go wrong. The Saints are plus 2. We're finally getting takeaways, and we lose the game.
Well, I agree with you, Bobby. I've always felt like probably the best indicator of whether a team succeeds in a game or doesn't succeed would be the takeaway giveaway ratio, and usually the team that turns it over the most is the loser. That's not always the case, but it's a pretty good indicator of who won the game. Plus two, that's good. I don't know what happened there those last two drives. It just blew me away because I watched the whole game. I thought they were playing well against Tampa. You know, Tampa hasn't had great success this year compared to previous years. But even then, you know that they're a talented team with a great quarterback and all that kind of stuff playing in Tampa, that they should be maybe more evenly close to the Saints, you know, going into those last few minutes, but they weren't. And all of a sudden, Brady got hot. The receiver started making great catches, things like that. And they comes down and they lose the ball game. And it was a heartbreaker. I mean, I felt it emotionally inside. I can just imagine what those coaches felt like and the players felt like after, you know, walking back into the locker room and on the trip home and the whole thing. It had to be gut-wrenching because, you know, it's a game that was really important as far as the playoff situation is concerned. Nobody in that division, as you guys know, has won more than they've lost. The Saints were right in the hunt, and had they have won that game last night, I think it would have been even more in the hunt, naturally, and it wasn't. And they blew a good I don't want to say they blew. They lost a situation to give them some help with the rest of the season.
So, Jim,
that's a long answer.
That's all right. We got plenty of time, babe. Take your time. Yeah, We're all good tonight. There is two ways to kind of look at that, and that people today have focused either on the defense in those final two possessions, or you look at earlier in the game and so many opportunities where you had to settle for field goals, you punted in Tampa territory, play calling, and we're not going to nitpick about coaching decisions and plays of that nature, but I am curious as to your thoughts about how this team, like when you watched earlier this year, the Rams played in Tampa. Tampa at the time was 3-5, and the Rams dominated the game and should have won, and they stopped Tom Brady in the end zone and got the ball back. All they needed was a first down, and they said, you know what, not going to do it. Punted back to Tom Brady, took it down. He scored. They won. They ended up winning the next game against Seattle, get to 5-5. My long-winded question is, it's like, you know what's going to happen. Is it more on the offense for not preserving this win and doing things to not give Tom Brady the football, or you've asked your defense to be on the field for 15 minutes running pass plays every time?
Well, I don't think you chastise the Saints for losing the ball game. I mean, the offense for losing the ball game. You know, if you look at this season, and I know this for a fact because I've read the stats, and I don't know them particularly, you know, offhand right now, but there have been lower scoring games this year in a long time as far as the NFL is concerned. And every week you see team. Now, there's always a couple of games where, you know, they're in the 30s or something like that. But overall, the games have been very low scoring. Now, here's a low scoring game last night. And Tampa, a talented team with a great quarterback, having trouble getting in the end zone or even keeping a drive alive. And finally they come alive and they get it done at the end. I don't know why. Does Brady just becomes a Superman all of a sudden? I don't know. I know he's so cool, and the throws that he made there in those last two drives were unbelievable. He had great protection. He threw the ball well, and there were times when the receivers were pretty well covered. And the dang receiver came up with the ball, which, you know, maybe he shouldn't have. The Saints were definitely, you know, trying their hardest. There was no letdown on defense. But Brady and his core of receivers and the whole offense just all of a sudden put it all together in a critical time and got the job done. What's the answer to it? I don't know. It happens. The NFL's crazy. Crazy things happen. Some teams win that shouldn't win. Some teams lose. It shouldn't lose, and happens every week. But this was a heartbreaker. This was a brutal game to watch there at the end. And I felt like I said earlier, you know, I had an idea, the feeling in that locker room and walking off that field for the players and the coaches after that game. It could have been just awful, brutal, and it probably was.
It's okay. It was. And yeah. So we will come back. We'll talk more with Saints, former Saints head coach Jim Moore. You're listening to the Saints Coaches Show. We are live from the Silver Slipper in Hancock, Mississippi. Mike Austin, Bobby Hebert, back after a break on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show, a special edition. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper in Hancock, Mississippi. The Saints have started their open week, and we are speaking with former Saints head coach Jim Mora. And, Jim, I just wanted to kind of touch on what you talked about, and that is teams are scoring less. And when you think about this Buccaneer team and kind of what they've been, right, this offensive just powerhouse over the years. So going into last night, their five wins, they were 5-6 into last night, their five wins, they had not scored more than 21 points at all in their five wins. Now they've scored 17 points. Now they have six wins and have still not scored more than 21 points. So just to what you said, exactly right, for whatever reason. Now, not everybody can win with 21, but they have.
Well, you know, Mike, what is the reason? I don't know the reason. I'm saying, well, our offense is not playing like they should or as successfully or as good as they could, or is our defense is just that much better all of a sudden. I don't know the answer. I try to think about it and watch it and decide, but it just seems to me like it's harder and harder to get into that end zone, keep a drive going, whatever. I know things have changed in the NFL since when I coached there, and I know in talking to some coaches that were coaches back there with me or against me, and that are, you know, maybe still involved with NFL teams, and they tell me that there's a different a way that teams prepare, the amount of hours they spend, the intensity on the practice field, practices with pads and all those kind of things. I don't know if that it's different and really less than, and things that I'm talking about, really less than when I coached. And maybe we were to the extreme. Bobby could comment on that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this has any kind of a, you know, influence on productivity or how offenses are doing this year and scoring points. I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did, but and you know, when I watch the games, it doesn't look any less good or effective or what you're looking for than it has. I mean, they go in there and they play good. I one thing I noticed is different, and this would be another reason for the offense to be scoring more points. I don't think the tackling is as good as it used to be. I see more missed tackles, guys diving at the feet or the ankles or the lower part of the body. I don't see people smacking into somebody and getting them down when he's carrying the football. Now, again, that should help the offenses, and they should be scoring more points because of that. But I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but something's going on where offenses just are struggling this year, and maybe that's going to be something that's going to continue over the years for a while. I don't know. The skill level, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the receivers. I see receivers making fantastic catches in games that you know, over not just one game, but a lot of games. I mean, I would hate to be a defensive back right now covering some of these wide receivers, because you can be all over the guy and the guy's going to come up with the catch. And I see that more often than I've seen in a long time. I don't know, Bobby, you might know more about this than I do.
I'd say that.
Now, that should help the offenses. That should mean more points are being scored. I don't know.
Yeah, the one thing, Coach Warren, that I think is cyclical, when you think about it, I can remember you had a board up that if our defense is worth their salt, you hold opponents to 17 points or less, and shame on our offense if we don't win. And then offensively, we should score 23 points. And then if our defense is giving up more than 23 points, well, that's the defense's fault. Just having that formula got the double-digit wins. And I'm looking, for instance, at Tampa Bay, for instance. The Saints, the Buccaneers were giving up 18 points a game. I mean, they were giving up 18.5 points a game. The Saints were giving up 23.5. But offensively, the Saints were scoring basically 21 points, the Bucs 18. So I think that formula still works. You know, like when you think about it now, on the Sean Payton and Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, I looked at this, and this is going back well over a dozen years, 16 years to be exact, that when you look at the average, and, you know, Belichick and Brady and all that, that the top average was like 27.5 to 28 points. So I still think scoring offense with scoring defense comes into play. And I think what you were talking about, it just comes back. You know, you might say, oh, well, they're going to have games now because the rules are skewed towards the offense. So it's going to be like 42 to 38 or something. No, these guys are still the best in the world on the defensive side. They get paid to play defense too. So it's not just going to be like a video game where it's a shootout. So that's why, to me, I don't have any problem if the game's like 20 to 17, if it's good quality football.
Yeah, I don't either. And I look back at some of our seasons, you know, when I was coaching with the Saints, and we won some games where we didn't score a lot of points, and it wasn't certainly because of our quarterback, because we had one hell of a quarterback, and I'm talking to him right now. But anyway, we had a really good defense. I mean, we had one of the best defenses in the National Football League for a few years there. So, you know, but I you know, I like I said, I've talked. Well, I don't know. I talk to people that feel that the way that players conduct their practices and all, but I don't know. It's the coaches, how they conduct their practices and stuff, that it makes.
They don't have two-a-days.
I really don't have the answer to it.
Coach Moore, they don't have two-a-days anymore. But the one thing I'm telling you what, that you would have held, I should say, any player's feet to the fire. What the hell was Mark Ingram doing? Okay, wait. Now, if this is Don Hilliard, Reuben Mays, Ironhead, Craig Hayward, whoever it might be, and then all of a sudden you have a chance to keep the clock moving and you get a first down, what is Ingram running out of bounds for?
Yeah,
I think you'd have gave him the business. I think you'd have been like, well, you'd have grabbed him like, what the hell are you doing? You can't be going out of bounds. I don't care if you hurt. You can be on one leg. You got to fall forward, land in bounds, or get the first down.
I mean, I remember that.
I mean, what in the world was Ingram thinking? Was that a brain fart or what?
You know, I'm seeing a difference in Kamara's play recently. I don't know if you guys are or not, but he doesn't look to me consistently like the guy that I'm used to see, you know, just going with those runs and really getting smacked around and still on his feet going for every possible yard he can get. I don't see that recently, so I don't know if that's a factor or not.
Coach Moore, I agree with you. I don't know what they're saving themselves for. Now there's so much money involved, they may be playing for the future. They go, well, we're not really going to win anything now. But I don't know. Coach Moore, I think we have a lot of sometimes, because the money that's involved, maybe we have too many prima donnas. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's puzzling to me because, listen, you are a star player and you are supposed to be a great player. Your great players got to play great. They just can't be good.
Right.
Stay here.
I agree
on this.
With that.
Yep. Stay here with the Saints coaches show. Hold on, Coach. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with you as well. We're going to come back with former Saints coach Jim Moore. You're listening to the Saints coaches show here on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints coaches show. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, as well as we're joined by former Saints head coach Jim Moore joining us, and happy to do so. And, Coach, I just wanted to ask you, because you and I and Bobby have this, we have the ability to go back, because when I was a young reporter, you were the head coach, Bobby was the quarterback.
In lacrosse?
In the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made me think yesterday, and we were talking about, as this Saints team dominated Tampa Bay, but yet it was field goals. right? It wasn't touchdowns. And I thought back to some of those days when it was Joe Montana and Steve Young and you guys were dominating. But maybe it was field goals, right? And it wasn't touchdowns. And as a fan and as a play-by-play guy, you could almost feel it coming, right? You could feel Tom Brady coming. Is that kind of a similar situation when you leave? We've left Joe Montana or Steve Young too much time.
Well, the only thing is I got to take up for Coach Moore.
No, I'm not criticizing Coach Moore.
No, but this, Hoss, let me tell you. They had a game, the woulda, coulda, shoulda speech. Coach Moore, if you could correct me, was that game like 32-30 we lost? I know it wasn't like a team's game, and we end up losing in – you know, if it had been old school bum, and he goes, ah, well, we played hard. We're going to get him next week. But you got our attention and said, yeah, we could have won, should have won, but we didn't. We're not very good. Then we won 9 games in a row. Sometimes you have to light a fire under your team and not worry about being their friends and get along with them. What's your take on that, Coach?
Well, I don't remember the score. I knew it was a close game. It was early in the season. I think it was the second year I was the head coach there. And I don't know. We just caught fire. But Bobby, we had good players, you being certainly one of them. And it was time for us to start winning. Now, to win 9 in a row, I think we did. I think that's tough in the NFL for anybody nowadays because of the you know, teams are pretty darn equal from top to bottom. There are a few that really don't play that well. But basically, I mean, every week you got to be ready to play. I mean, if you're not ready to play, somebody can beat you. I don't care who it is. And we had – when I got the job there, we had – it was a pretty good team at that point. Now, I know in previous years they hadn't won, but when I started seeing our first practices that we've had, I'm looking at some of you guys. I'm saying, gee, many Christmas. These guys should have been winning some games, you know, maybe more than they have. I was impressed with the team that we inherited. Now, we got better with some of the guys we brought in, free agency, the draft, et cetera. But the fact, and like I say, it's hard to win that many games in a row, but our guys were playing good and hard, and you were, and we had a good quarterback. You don't win without a good quarterback, and you were a damn good quarterback for us. And I just I don't know. We just you say caught fired. You know, I don't know if you're on fire for 9 straight weeks. I don't think that's the what I would say was the reason we won. We won because we practiced hard, we played hard, we were well prepared, we had good players. Yes, we had good players, and that's why we won those games. And some of them were very close. A lot of them weren't high scoring, but we won, and we did it as a team, offense, defense, and kicking game. Certainly, the kicking game with Morton, but and you know, I blame myself for my history as a head coach in the playoffs, because we never won one either in New Orleans or with the Colts. And I think that I worked a team too hard towards the end of the season. I always thought, well, it's working now through the course of the season. Let's just keep it up with the intensity of the practices and everything. And I think at times that was wrong, and I think we weren't prepared to win in the playoffs, not because we didn't work hard, but maybe we worked too hard, and that was my fault. And I look back on that, and I think that's one of the reasons. So anyway, we won because we had good players and we coached them up. That's why we won. No other reason. That's my opinion.
Now, you know, Coach Moore, you're talking about, look, the Saints, if their defense was maybe the defense in previous seasons, you could win a game like 16-10. And the reason why I say that against Tampa Bay, look, we had to end up settling for 3 red zone field goals. We just finished off with 1 drive with a touchdown. But when you look at what occurred, this is Tom Brady with the Buccaneers versus the Saints. You know, it was 11 and a half quarters that Tom Brady had 6 points versus the Saints. Now, think about that.
Yeah.
Remember the game? It was like Bruce Arians kicked a field goal so he wouldn't get shut out. We won 38-0. Last year we won 9-0. We're up 16-3. I'm like thinking, what? I'm looking at 11 and a half quarters. We've given up like 6 points against the greatest quarterback of all time. And that's why I was still like, how did we lose this game? What happened? Because we've had their number. Even Tom Brady has said that we've been the Achilles heel and a thorn in Tom Brady's side.
Well, again, I disagree with you a little bit, Bobby, and the fact when you say we had their number, whether you thought that or somebody brought that or bought that or whatever, I don't think in the NFL you have a team's number from game to game that you're playing. Say you play them twice in a year. I think you beat them because you're a more well-prepared team that day or night, and you have a better team than they do. That's what wins games. I'm not into the have a team's number. I know maybe psychologically, and you could tell me this better as a former player, that how you feel from a confidence standpoint going into a game with a particular team. Do you feel like you can't beat these guys? No, I don't think a team ever feels that way. I think every team goes into a game with respect for the other team, and probably the other team is a better team, personnel-wise, et cetera. But I don't think you ever think that you can't pull out a dang victory. And I think every victory, every game, you got to fight for a victory. I mean, you got to fight your tail off for 60 minutes and the preparation that goes into that. And it's a dogfight. The NFL is a dogfight. I know it was when I coached. I don't know if it still is, but
yep.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, too. Yep. I'm sure it is.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure. It was good to see you in Arizona. Always good to see you. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight. Former Saints head coach Jim Moore, everyone. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, Coach.
Thank you. Anytime.
Let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves here on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Haas. We are at the Silver Slipper. Mike Haas and Bobby Aber. When we come back, we will talk with former Saints wide receiver Lance Moore, part of the Super Bowl team. We'll talk about last night, talk about the new wide receiver, Rashid Shaheed, as I call him, after this break on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier, and Bobby Aber. We are from the Silver Slipper in Hancock, Mississippi, where they would normally do their show, and normally I would be back in the studio. The Saints have begun their open week, so to speak, so they are either working or are off with their families. And so we just spoke with former Saints head coach Jim Moore. Now we are joined by former Saints wide receiver, also does a lot of work with Coach Moore and WDSU as far as an analyst is concerned, and that's Lance Moore. Lance, I know just from a football player standpoint, last night was just tough to watch as a former Saint.
Well, first and foremost, why do you guys have to make me come on after Coach Mora? Like, nobody's ever going to live up to the greatness that is Jim Mora on TV or radio.
You can follow Sean.
You know, I will. I'll do my best here. I don't know if I can live up to the expectations, but he is, you know, awesome to work with, but awesome to learn from and to listen to as well. So, like I said, I'll do my best. And yeah, it was frustrating, you know, to be in a game like that, a crucial game, a game that we needed to win and not be able to take care of business, especially the way that we weren't able to take care of business. It's beyond frustrating. It's disappointing. And I'm sure that I have the same feelings that most of us who at Nation fans and family have. And it's just, you know, a kind of a where do we go from here type of feeling.
So I want to ask you, because I talked to Coach Moore about it, but Bobby butted in and wouldn't let Jim Moore answer the question.
Right. That happens all the time.
Because you're facing Tom Brady, and you can see 17-3, we can do the math, or 16-3, we can all do the math, and it's like we saw the Rams do it. They gave him an extra possession when they didn't need to. Their offense could have shut it down and won the game. Could you, I mean, almost coming like you can't, you've got to do this offensively, because you cannot keep giving him the football.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny. We were sitting watching the game last night, and I believe there was 4.5 or maybe even 5 minutes left, and my wife was like, this game is over. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I've seen this story too many times before, not necessarily with this specific team, but with this specific quarterback that we're facing. And I knew. I knew that if we didn't make a play to put them away, that Tom has everything that at his disposal to be able to go down and win that football game. And, I mean, there's been a lot of people blaming coaching, blaming this person, blaming that person. You know, you cannot blame one particular play for the reason that we lost the game, but you can blame several plays. And you know, like I've heard people talk about throwing the football on 3rd and 1 late in the game, Mark Ingram going out of bounds early, drop passes. You put all those things together in a game like that, when you win the turnover battle 2-0, you're winning time of possession, you're winning total yardage. I mean, you're winning every stat, but you make those mistakes and you lose the game. I mean, that's just what happens when you're playing against a good team, you're playing against a great quarterback that's got a ton of weapons to be able to distribute the football to. And really, it's a missed opportunity for us. We weren't able to get after him the way that I thought that we should have. You know, we got the 2 turnovers, but clearly the 2 turnovers weren't enough. We probably needed to have 3 turnovers in order to beat that football team. But it is. I mean, it's just very disappointing. And, you know, I think there's a few guys that played well in the game. But it really sucks when you're one of those guys that plays well and you lose the football game.
The one guy that played well, it's like Lance Moore with speed, Rashid Shaheed. I mean, 160 yards. Lance, you have to be pleased with him. Because you were a punt returner, because you could feel the punt, and you weren't going to fumble it. So what is your take on Rashid Shaheed? Because in training camp, we did not even witness him. He was out of sight, out of mind, and all of a sudden, he gets targeted 4 times, 4 catches, averaging 18 yards a reception. Rashid Shaheed, I can tell you, he's as explosive as Chris Olave. And look, I like Chris Olave. Chris Olave, to me, is a very good receiver, but he drops too many damn balls. Lance, I can't remember you dropping anything. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I can count a half dozen catches or making a contested catch. That's one thing I see now. That even went back to last year, even with Kenny Stills and all. Okay, it's supposed to be a 50-50 ball? No, we maybe caught it 20%, and 80% was against us. I don't see us making big-time catches since Michael Thomas is not in the fold, but all our receiving core, no, but we might catch it, might drop it. Come on, I want you to say or be honest. When you look at Andy Dalton and what he did, and Jarvis Landry dropping a touchdown pass, you got Chris Olave, you look at Taysom Hill, what more than a quarterback can do? Let's say you're in the wide receiver meeting room. What is the coach telling y'all if you don't finish the catch?
Well, look, if I'm the receiver coach of the New Orleans Saints today after that game, I'm going to say that loss is on us. Clearly. Make one of those 3 plays, right, those 3 plays that you just mentioned. Chris Olave's drop on the sideline, that takes 3 points off the board. Jarvis Landry's drop touchdown catch obviously takes 7 points off the board. And then Taysom Hill's, it's a tough play, right? But you're in that position for a reason. Andy Dalton threw you that ball late in the game, down the middle of the field, with the game on the line for a reason, because he trusts you and you've made plays like that before. It's on him to make that play. So That game, that loss, I'm going to say, is on the receivers because those guys are capable of making those plays. It's different if you put a guy in a spot that he's never been in before and he's never shown you that he can make those plays and you're just hoping that he can make the play. But guys that have been making plays, some of those guys were making plays for years, but Olave's been making those plays all year. You have to make that play in that ball game. And look, I love Rashid Shaheed. He's a guy that, like you said, nobody was talking about in training camp, but just continued to work and has done nothing but show up every single time he's gotten the opportunity. I think the future of the wide receiver position for the New Orleans Saints is really, really bright, right? We've got Chris Olave. We know he's going to be in the fold. Rashid Shaheed has definitely stamped himself into the lineup next year, whether it's as just a returner or a returner and a receiver. He's a guy that obviously continues to make plays. You've got to keep putting him out there. And then if we get a healthy Michael Thomas back next year, I mean, obviously I'm not trying to talk about next year, but I think the future at the position is bright. And to your point about Andy, there's nothing more that he could have done in that football game. He did everything that he needed to do to win that football game. There's a couple of plays that I think I'm sure he would like to have back as far as sacks goes. That late sack I thought could have potentially been the game for us. But then he turned around the very next play and made a dart throw right down the middle of the field to Taysom Hill, which if he catches that football, we win the game. So the game is not on Andy Dalton. People want to blame him for throwing that football on the 3rd and 1 on a possession before that, which I tell people all the time, there's a lot of plays in that Saints offense that are run and pass. It's not necessarily like RPOs like today. It's if you get a certain look against the run, you just pitch it out there to the receiver and throw the football. It just, they played it well, right? I mean, I would have liked him to hand off the ball so the clock would keep going, but that didn't lose us the football game. So that's a big-time, long-winded answer for you, but I do think that the receivers have got to get better as far as consistently making contested catches and the uncontested catches. The drops when nobody's around you, those are uncalled for and unexplainable. You cannot allow those things to happen. I'm not saying it's coaching. I'm not saying the guys aren't prepared or the guys aren't focused, because I know they are. I know the amount of time that they put in and the work that they put in so that they allow themselves to have an opportunity to make those plays. They just got to go out and do it.
So, Lance, reflect back on, like, when you were playing. Were you part of those because we were ready, okay, maybe we need to change coaches. Sean has to go in a different direction. What was it, like 14, 15, and 16, we're 7-9. Were you part of those teams? That's the first question. And what is the mindset where you're not mathematically out, but this game was so important. 2-for-1, division game. You got to beat Tampa to keep your hopes alive. And then you win the NFC South and you're hosting a playoff game. Well, what was your mindset that when you're playing pro ball, is it like, okay, I got to be a pro? I got to be responsible. I can't just go half-stepping and worry about the off season. That even we mathematically, whenever that might occur, we're out of it. But I still got to be a pro and put my best effort forward. Or you can't just be like, I'm saving myself for the future, because you're getting paid a lot of money to be a pro at the highest level.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is no saving yourself. There, I mean, if you're in between those white lines and you're not playing your hardest or trying your hardest, you're probably going to get hurt. Or all the other teams that you're trying to save yourself for are going to see you not giving your full effort. So I don't think guys are going to be trying to do that. But I was not a part of the 14, 15, and 16 teams, but I was a part of the 07, 7-9, and the 08, 8-8 teams, where we weren't great teams, but we competed every single time out. And, you know, you have to be a pro. I mean, there's no way around that. You were playing in the National Football League, and it's definitely something that can never be taken for granted. Obviously, some, you know, crazy things would have to happen for us to be able to kind of walk our way, limp our way into the playoffs. I don't see that happening. I just don't. I mean, the way that we've played for the last month, there's nothing about the way that we've played or the way that we've finished football games that would lead me to believe that somehow we're going to make it to the playoffs. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? I think that's up to DA. The decisions that they're going to have to make as far as who's in, who's out. Are you going to play guys that are hurt, that are trying to make it back? I mean, there's a lot of big-time decisions that need to be made. And I'm happy that it's him and not me.
They are not going to be easy decisions. Lance, we always appreciate your time, appreciate your thoughtful input and your time with WDSU. Anybody that deals with both the Mackles, you know, deserves an award always, and they're friends of mine. So we appreciate your time.
The number one thing about Lance Moore, if it hits his hands, I know he's catching it.
That's right.
Now he can run. He can hit. Drew Brees will hit him in the seam and all that, and he can make plays, and Drew trusted him.
Pretty big two-point conversion
guy. He was going to catch it.
Yeah.
He's not like, damn, catch the ball and hit you right in the hands. No, Lance always caught it. I wasn't worried about that.
Lance, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, Lance.
Thank you, Lance.
We'll step aside, take a quick break. This is the Saints Coaches Show. We're live from the Silver Slipper in Hancock, Mississippi. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettelier back after a break on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show, and I will just tell you right now what we're doing. We are trying to watch the Cade Otton pass with a minute and a half left where he catches it in the left flat, rolls over, tries to get up, which means he is making a football move.
And he fumbles
it. The Saints knock the ball out. They don't touch him. And even if they do touch him, they've already knocked the ball out. So they consider him down, keep the ball, and it's neither. If he just lays there, okay, he's giving himself up, then they don't have to worry about touching him. But he didn't do that. He rolled over because he realizes, I can still move.
Right.
Football move. Saints knocked the ball out. That should have been a fumble.
Well, you know.
And that's the booth people.
Well,
because you can't challenge that on the field.
And Dennis was going crazy.
He was jumping up and down on the sidelines.
Screwed that up. It was the female official along the sideline. Just look at it. She had the ponytail hanging out. So the female official.
No, who really screwed it up is the guy in the booth.
Right, they should have stopped it.
But she was
take a look at it.
But she was at the point of attack,
they will say that's an object. That was her objective decision, whether he had given himself up or not.
And
that
is all objective decisions.
No. But whether he had given himself up or not.
Decision is she screwed up.
She did.
that was a fumble.
That was a bad – and I'm just can't – it's one of those things that today there's so many things to talk about. We're not talking about that play. To me, that play is huge.
It's another turnover.
Right.
It's another takeaway.
It's a minute and a half to play in the game.
It's like plus three now instead of plus two.
That's the definition of home cooking.
Right. It really was.
Really? You're not getting that call somewhere else.
Okay, we got to look at where that woman's from. Is she from Florida?
No, here we go.
Bobby, don't do that because Carl Johnson's going to get upset with you.
Well, the whole thing with the Rams, the NOLA no call, the damn referees from Santa Barbara.
All right.
Well, why so is he even doing a Rams game?
Here's the question, and I'll ask you, Mike. Where do they go? Is it Jameis a little bit? What do they do moving forward with Atlanta? Is it just same old? Because at some point, are we going to be in this same situation next year? Right? Don't you have to learn something?
My thing is, I go back and ask myself the question, could Jameis Winston have done a better job than Andy Dalton in this game?
Oh, I'm not saying that.
No.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
I agree with you, and that's not what
I'm saying. I go with Andy then.
Me too.
I go with Andy.
I'm just saying, are we going to be in 23 going in this with the same kind of situation? That's the only thing. I totally agree.
In 2023, I think you got two new quarterbacks on this football team. You got a young one and an old one. The bridge and the young kid.
That's
my opinion.
Does this team somehow, through Sean Payton, get into the first round?
Yeah, I think you get into the first round.
By somebody. San Diego.
If it's the L.A. Chargers, it's the Arizona Cardinals, if it's one of those two teams. Now, Sean's got a lot more connections in Arizona because he was a ball boy when he was in college. The Cardinals would train. And so he knows the Bidwells. Maybe he knows him too well.
But he gets his choice, right? It's all about a quarterback choice, right?
And I'm going to L.A.
It's all a quarterback choice.
And I'm taking Justin Herbert in a heartbeat.
You know what's funny? And we're almost out of time. The pass to Taysom Hill last night that was incomplete, and Taysom did a great job. Do you know how long we have been begging for a back shoulder tight end seam route, right? I mean, it was a beautiful tight end seam route. I was like, wow, my gosh, what a great play. He couldn't hold on to it. I'm not blaming Taysom. And, but that play was such a staple of this offense for so many years.
For a long time. Now, who I give a lot of credit to, Kenu Nuyo, because he could have went high on that play. Mike, because you see him, man, he's like a missile coming out. But his launch was not to the head, not to the neck area. He was to knock it out, and that's what Neil did. I give him full credit because on first glimpse, I thought he might have went a little high. When you saw it again, he got the
just right the ball.
He went right at the chest to knock out the football.
Right.
So I give Neil a lot of credit on that.
And they were down two of their safeties. They were down two of their starters. And I was going to ask. We don't have a whole lot of time. I was going to ask
because
Lance, like
Winfield
Jamel
is really
Dean,
good.
Jamel Dean can't cover Rashid Shaheed. It was clear, you know, from the first play of the game, he can't cover Rashid Shaheed.
So I go back to that.
Yes.
I go back to that again.
Yes.
And you don't have Antoine Winfield running
or
deep safety.
Or Edwards.
And Edwards. But, man, Winfield's the guy.
I know.
I mean, he is he's a special. Now, he's not the biggest cat in the world, but, man, he can play. So, man, I go back to that. And, Mike, I think that's what's so frustrating, that you see the matchup situations, why you don't try to take a better advantage of it.
Well, it was a unique Saints Coaches Show. I appreciate everyone here at the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi.
Got that right.
My thanks to Jim Mora, who, by the way, Jim Mora, when he came, you know, it was tough sometimes with him, but the guy was in my wedding in 1995, came to my wedding. So I thought that was pretty cool. Always thanks to Lance Moore, Charlie Long, and our studio producer as well. Luke, thank you very much as well.
Man, Luke always coordinating and supervising.
Luke does everything. Bobby, of course, left. My thanks to Mike Atelier. Yeah, this has been the Saints Coaches Show on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.